This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Our state capitol report continues now with a look at a Republican bill in the state Senate that would require school boards to hold referendums during traditional fall and spring elections. It would also prevent school boards from going back to voters for 2 years following a referendum's rejection. We will talk with State Senator Dewey Strobel about why he says this proposal, his proposal, protects taxpayers and restores integrity in the referendum process. And then we will, after the news, welcome in a guest critic who will explain why this measure is bad for schools. And we'll welcome your questions for both of our guests at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. First, let's welcome in Dewey Strobel, a Republican state senator from Saukville and the author of this bill that would limit when school boards can hold referendums. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
What triggered the need for this bill?
Well, I certainly pay attention to what my constituents are talking about. I've been on a school board for 5 years. I have 8 children, so education is extremely important to me, and I watch it very closely.
Yeah, your legislation would allow school boards to hold referendums only during traditional spring and fall elections. How often do they happen outside of those times?
Well, they do happen with too much frequency, as far as many of my constituents and what I hear throughout the state have happened. And really what this is to do, it asks that these elections be held during the spring general and the fall general elections. Those are the elections with the highest turnouts. Those are the ones with the most democratic representation. Those are really the ones where we want communities making these big decisions. We certainly don't want to have the elections, which certainly does happen, where you might get 15% turnout for a massive long-term decision for a community. Again, we want people to participate, and this is how people will participate in the general elections. And many school boards already observe this as a policy. This is when they do their referendums, but some don't. And this bill is set out to fix that situation.
Well, it would also make school boards wait 2 years before going back to voters after a failed referendum. Why is this necessary?
Well, why is this necessary is because school boards need to do a good job of communicating to their electorate why they need this referendum. They need to take the time to do that correctly. And then the electorate will make their decision. And when they make their decision, the school boards need to respect that decision. I mean, that is, again, the democratic process also, when a decision is made and then we respect that decision. And right now, that's not always happening because sometimes a decision is made and then in rapid-fire succession, the districts just keep coming back and back and back with additional referendums. And I don't think that's respecting the decision of the electorate in this democratic process.
State Superintendent Tony Evers criticized the bill, saying it erodes local control. Isn't local control a conservative principle?
It certainly is, and that's exactly why we're doing this bill, what I just got through saying. Again, we want these elections to be when people turn out, not when they don't turn out. That is local control of the electorate. And we also, again, I'll repeat, when the decision is made, the school districts have to respect that decision. So that is local control. That is the voting public having a say in this process, not being gamed or not being kind of what you sometimes see where it's kind of let's make a deal or the voter is worn down in this whole process. Or again, you get a referendum and it passes with 15%. Is that democracy? Is that a representation of the public? It's not, and that's what this bill sets out to fix.
The Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance said there were 206 referendums last year, the most in 10 years, and that in April, 3 out of 4 referendums to exceed revenue limits did pass. The Alliance's President Todd Berry says this represents a changing perception of the state's support of public schools. Do you think your bill that limits when referendums can happen is going against the public grain?
No, not at all, because again, they're going to be on days when the electorate comes out to vote, and again, we are going to respect the electorate, their decision. Again, there's a lot of very school districts that do things that will be in compliance with what this bill says, but there are some bad actors out there, and it's a minority, but this is something that I think, again, is going to enhance local control, enhance democracy, and see that the voices of the voters are heard in these situations.
Why is it being a bad actor to go to voters outside of these times or going back before 2 years has passed?
Because it's, do you, Joy, think it's a good idea to have an election with a huge decision with long-term implications for a community and have 15% turnout?
No, I'm just so you're saying that you should do it only when there's heavier turnout.
That's correct.
Our next guest is school board's lobbyist Dan Rossmiller. He said that if school boards guess wrong or misjudge voter sentiment, then they are stuck, and the children are stuck for 2 years. So how do you respond to that concern?
Well, let's hope they're not guessing. Let's hope that they've done their homework, that they've done their due diligence, and they've come out with a reasonable plan that they can lobby the public that this is a good idea. And that's their job to do. And many of them do a very good job of that, and we should be proud of that. But when you don't, and or the voters reject their decision, we have to respect that. That's democracy.
Yeah. Governor Walker says he supports the measure because it would improve voter participation. How confident are you that this measure will pass?
I feel pretty good about it. I think there's a lot of strong support there, and I believe it's a good bill for Wisconsin, and I believe ultimately that it will become law.
Let me ask you, before we let you go, we have just a minute to go, Senator Strobel. We had a caller who wanted to know about changing or eliminating the workers' compensation program in Wisconsin. Are you authoring a bill that would do this?
I am involved with a bill that has some common sense reforms to the workers' compensation process. That's correct.
What are the common sense reforms?
Well, we really haven't officially rolled that bill out in the capacity, so I'm really not at this point in time prepared to talk to it. But at a later show, I'd be happy to take that on with you, Joy.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dewey Strobel, a Republican state senator from Saukville, the author of a bill that would limit when school boards can hold referendums. And I made a mistake. I misread our clock. I thought that we were going to be able to go next to Dan Rossmiller. We have news coming up, so we'll check news first, and then we will bring in Dan Rossmiller, the Government Relations Director with the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. And we will welcome your questions about this bill that would require school boards to hold referendums during traditional fall and spring elections. It would prevent school boards from going back to voters for 2 years following a referendum's rejection. Do you think that this is a good idea or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our first guest, Senator Strobel, says this is necessary because the fall and spring elections have the highest voter turnout, and you should have these referendums during times when there is high voter turnout. Do you agree with this or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's Mondays with Mike. WPR's director, Mike Crane, will be in, and he will answer your questions and respond to your feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio. That's Mondays with Mike, the first Monday of each month here on the Ideas Network. This is the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network. Should school boards only be allowed to hold referendums during traditional spring and fall elections? How do you feel about school boards, school districts having to wait 2 years to ask voters again about a failed referendum? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We just heard from State Senator Dewey Strobel, who is the author of a bill that would limit when school boards can hold referendums. Now we will get another perspective on this legislation from Dan Rossmiller, the Government Relations Director with the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
Senator Strobel told us before the news break that this bill is about keeping property taxes down and preventing voters from being worn out. Is that a legitimate concern to you?
Well, I think the legislature has made keeping property taxes down its major priority. I'm not sure it's making education its major priority, and that's what my concern is. But let me address the referendum question. I don't think that referendums are a great mystery to most people. The question is on the ballot. Do you want to raise your property taxes, and for what purpose? I mean, that's what's presented to the voters. And I think voters are generally pretty good about figuring out whether they want to raise their property taxes or not. It's one of the few chances they get to vote on a tax. You know, it's interesting. We listened to the news report just before this, and the legislature's talking about borrowing $200 million. And people aren't going to get a vote on that. That's just an aside.
Yeah. But Senator Strobel said, all right, hold these referendums to raise property taxes during spring and fall elections when there is the highest voter turnout, not on some time when very few people would vote on it. What about that?
Well, first off, there's no evidence that the composition of the electorate changes from election to election to any appreciable degree. And in fact, studies show that in small turnout elections, the voters who turn out are those who turn out most regularly, excuse me. And those are older voters. Those are voters that tend more often to be on fixed incomes and would have the greatest concerns about property tax increases. So I'm not sure that really holds. Now, as to the low turnout election, it's the case that very often in our spring elections, only about 20% of the voters statewide turn out. One of the things that local referendums do in those elections is they do raise turnout in localities. And I think we're not giving the voters enough credit. You know, I described what a referendum is. I think voters are sensible enough to vote the interests not only of themselves but of the children of the communities they live in.
Yeah. So why would a school board need to hold a referendum outside the traditional spring or fall election dates?
Well, there could be a number of reasons. A lot of school referendums are held for construction of school buildings, and it may be that the timing of getting shovels in the ground and getting a project completed so that it will be ready to go by the start of a school year might make it advantageous for the school district to get a little bit of a head start on a project. Keep in mind that we only have one election. Under this bill, schools would be limited to one election, and that would be the April election in an odd-numbered year. In an even-numbered year, we have, of course, the April election and the November election. So there'd be two chances under this bill. But in the odd-numbered year, you'd only get one chance, and if you don't pass the referendum in that window, you'd have to wait 2 years, and that concerns us a great deal. I mentioned the concerns about construction schedules. There are other concerns about interest rates. Now, we've been in a historically low period for interest rates, but that hasn't always been the case. And it might be to a district's advantage to go to the market when interest rates are at a low ebb rather than in a period when interest rates are rising.
You told the Wisconsin State Journal that if a school board misjudges voter sentiment, that they are trapped then for 2 years with that failed referendum. Senator Strobel said that he certainly hopes you're not, guessing at these issues. How difficult is it for school officials to be certain of voters' attitudes before deciding to hold a referendum?
Well, school boards and school officials should be engaging with their public on a regular basis, and not just when they want voters to approve a referendum. Many of these referendums, and I should explain the context here, there are two types of referendums, two reasons why school districts typically go to the voters. One is for construction projects, and the second is to exceed the revenue limits. Now, the legislature has frozen the revenue limits for the next 2 years, and I think they've seen that voters around the state support funding for education. They approved 75% of the referendums to exceed the revenue limits, to go beyond what the legislature was allowing schools to budget, because I think that they have a greater value on education than perhaps the legislature does. There was a poll from Marquette University that came out last April, and 54% of the voters surveyed said they would support more money for education, as opposed to 40% who said they would support lower property taxes. That they were given the choice, and 54% said more money for schools, 40% said lower property taxes. And I think that's the sentiment that's being played out around the state. The legislature has really tightened the clamps on school district budgets. And in many rural areas, the way revenue limits operate, the amount of money that a school district has available is directly tied to its enrollment. About between 60% and 66% of rural districts, or districts in the state rather, many of them small and rural, are losing enrollment and therefore losing money under the revenue limits. Many of them have to go to the voters periodically and ask them to exceed the revenue limits imposed by the legislature, or they have to make big cuts in programs and staff. So for many of those rural districts, going to referendum has become just part of the natural scene.
Let me go to some calls for you before we run out. Nick in Platteville is with us. Hello, Nick.
Hi. Hello.
Go ahead, Nick.
Hi. I just think that it is a good measure because it keeps schools from doing, it keeps them to do their due diligence and check with the voting taxpayers before they roll out a referendum, before they're ready and have the votes to pass it. And it's unfair to the voters that they constantly have to not necessarily be keep bothered with this, but they have a right to that their property taxes should stay at a certain level and that they need to justify why they want to raise them.
Well, Nick, just let me ask, how many times have you been asked to go to referendum in the last few years for your
Once.
Once. You think that was too much? You think that they wore you down?
No, I don't at all, because they did their due diligence on it. So it passed because they checked with the community and everything was good, and they knew they had the votes to pass it because they did their homework.
Yeah, I guess I didn't say that they guess. I think I told the State Journal that they misjudged the voter sentiment. But you know, the question is, how do you sample voter sentiment without having an official result? The only way for schools to get an official result is to go to referendum and actually ask the voters. Annual meetings of schools have become almost a non-event because the legislature has clamped down on revenue limits to the extent where people don't go to annual meetings to express their concerns about property taxes or much of anything else. The only avenue that schools have for gauging any official vote or any official tally of voter sentiment is by going to referendum, and this bill would take that away. Let me just say that I don't think that school boards go to referendum because they like to go to referendum. They go to referendum because they believe it's in the best educational interest of the children of their district.
Yeah. Let me take another call from it's Don in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Don. Go ahead.
Hi, actually, it's John, but thanks. This is a horrible bill. The 2-year waiting period, especially for a rural school district, is absolutely horrible. Sometimes people act like these rural school boards are some sort of marketing professionals that really can gauge exactly what the results are going to be. One item on a referendum, let's say some sort of a gym remodel or something like that voters might not like. If you remove that, it passes with flying colors. And you're saying that you wait 2 years, and then by the time that, let's say you come back 2 years later, and then it gets passed, by the time that gets implemented, you could be looking at three years from the need for it to actually be implemented. And that's, how fair is that to students in that district? It's just a really, really bad idea.
Thank you, John. Sometimes we hear it wrong on the cell phone. You know, because we're almost out of time, I want to take one more call. Jim in Door County. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I think that the whole logic behind this doesn't track. First of all, if the idea is to get more people to the polls, well, people show up when they show up. It's those who vote. I don't see anyone halting anyone from coming to the polls. The same legislature is is big right now on voter ID and almost keeping people from the polls. But this is, if people want to vote, they can show up.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Jim's comment to our producer was that this sounds like controlling locals rather than allowing local control. Dan Rossmiller, because we have just a minute to go, you know, want to respond to local control issues.
Well, I would agree. There's nothing preventing voters from coming out to the polls, and they're smart people. We have very engaged voters in our state. Let me just say what. This bill does three things. It limits when school districts can go to referendum. It says that they can't go to referendum for 2 years if a referendum fails. But it also takes away a number of other financial tools that school districts have used. And it's really ironic that the same legislature that passed Act 10 and said it was giving school districts tools now wants to take a number of those tools away. And if any of those tools are blocked, or if a referendum fails, all of those tools become unavailable to schools. So this is a more complicated bill than it's being advertised, and it would really handcuff many districts in terms of their finances. I just think it's not well thought out. It's overly expansive, and we're going to oppose it.
Thank you so much for being with us. Dan Rossmiller, Government Relations Director with the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, to Chris Molina, and to Elizabeth Deliquest for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.